So, last time we were talking about the transience of life, and transience or impermanence was the Buddha's first teaching. It was also his last. After he attained enlightenment, when he went to Sarnath and taught his five friends, the first thing he taught them was about impermanence or transience. The fact that everything is changing moment to moment to moment, the fact that nothing remains stable. And he demonstrated this as his last teaching by himself leaving his body, showing that, you know, even a Buddha is impermanent. We have to be clear here about the difference between eternal and permanent and non-eternal and impermanent. Because our English word permanent and impermanent is a little bit different than the way we're using it in Buddhist meanings, okay? So, as I'm using them, the word eternal means it lasts forever without end, okay? So, for example, our mind stream is an eternal phenomena. It goes on without end. Something which is non-eternal is like this piece of paper because it can go out of existence. Okay. Now, something can be eternal and also impermanent. Impermanent means changing moment to moment. So something like our mind stream is eternal, it lasts forever, but it's also impermanent because it changes moment to moment. And you just look at your own mind, and it changes moment to moment, and so does our body, and so does everything else around it. Whereas permanent, in Buddhist language, means something that does not change moment to moment. And an example of this would be the emptiness of inherent existence, because emptiness is a lack of independent existence. So something that's a lack can't change. You know, it itself doesn't change. Okay? So, and that within impermanent phenomena, there is, or put it this way, within impermanent, we can talk about gross impermanence and subtle impermanence. Okay? Gross impermanence is when things just, like, they break. Okay, I drop this glass and it shatters. That's gross impermanence. We can see it with our eyes. Okay, we can see something change with our eyes. Or, you know, from the spring to the summer, the plant grows. Okay, that's gross impermanence, the plant being this big and then being huge. Okay? So that's things we can see through our senses. Subtle impermanence is, for example, what the scientists talk about when they talk about the movement of the electrons, or the, you know, around the nucleus. Okay? So the fact that within all the atoms and molecules, everything is moving and changing all the time, and yet we can't see it. Okay? So, obviously, gross impermanence is easier to realize and understand than subtle impermanence, because we can see it. But even gross impermanence, we have a terrific mental block against. And you can see it, you know, how strongly we grasp even at the gross permanence of things, because we freak out when things change. When you have an antique, and it breaks, or you have a plate and your kid knocks it off the table, it's like, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen. It's not in the nature of this antique to break. Why is it breaking? Okay? We can't accept even that gross impermanence. Or when we look in the mirror and we see more gray hair and more wrinkles, we're shocked. That isn't supposed to happen. That happens to other people. Yeah. So even that kind of gross impermanence, our mind is so obscured by ignorance that we really reject that and we fight against that,
let alone subtle impermanence and just the fact that nothing remains the same moment to moment to moment to moment. There's nothing to hold on to when we look on a subtle level. Okay. So our mind, the ignorance on our mind stream obscures both of these, the gross and the subtle levels of impermanence, and we have a lot of grasping to things being permanent. Now, of course, intellectually, we say, oh, yes, yes, everybody dies and my antiques break and the car goes out of, the car breaks. We say it all intellectually, but that is intellectual. We can tell very accurate, what our real grasping is, we just can't accept it when it happens. Okay? So that shows that there's a big difference between intellectually knowing something and actually integrating it in our life so that it becomes our way of relating to the world. So it's really showing that just kind of intellectually knowing something doesn't do the trick of solving our problems. We have to put it in our hearts. So this the purpose of doing this meditation on impermanence or transience is, at least when we're talking about gross impermanence, it's to get it from our intellectual understanding into our hearts. And similarly with subtle impermanence, because I think we can all intellectually understand the electrons moving and things like this, but, in our hearts we certainly don't. Okay? So the purpose of this meditation is to really clarify our mind so that we perceive things more accurately. If we perceive things more accurately, we're going to have less problems in our life than if we perceive them inaccurately. Okay. Now, the grasping at permanence is one of the underlying things that causes the generation of attachment. If we grasp in our hearts at things being permanent and unchanging, then they seem really there and it's very easy to get attached to them. For example, a relationship. Grasping at permanence, this is what we do with relationships. Okay, we have a relationship with somebody and there's some part of our mind that says, this is it, this is lasting forever. Or this person is lasting forever. In our hearts, that's what's the way we feel. Okay, so we become very attached to it. Because it's permanent, therefore I can cling to it. It gives us the illusion that it's something stable and secure that we can rely on because it's always going to be there. It's never going to change. Because that's the way it appears to our deluded mind. Okay? And so we get attached to it. We cling on to it. And then this attachment, once we have the attachment, that is what sets us up for so much disappointment and pain, because the thing that we think is permanent and unchanging is actually changing moment by moment, and at some point there's this gross impermanence. The gross impermanence becomes evident to us, and then we go, what? This isn't supposed to happen. This person I love isn't supposed to die. The relationship isn't supposed to end. Yes, yes, I know it intellectually, but believe me, it's really not supposed to happen. Yeah. So you see how this grasping at permanence causes the attachment. And then because attachment is out of sync with reality, when reality becomes evident, in other words, when the object, so the person's impermanent nature is evident, then we experience a lot of pain. Whereas if we can get rid of the attachment, we can still relate to the person or the object. But when it changed, we won't freak out because we haven't been clinging on to it as being permanent and always there. So you can see that this meditation on impermanence helps us to cut the attachment. Also, if you meditate on impermanence, it's going to help you cut the anger, because often when the thing we're attached to ends, we get angry.
So you see, if we can get rid of the attachment, we also get rid of the anger. Because we get angry in proportion to the amount of attachment we have for something. They go very well together. So it's very helpful to remember, for example, whenever we have pain or pleasure, that it's impermanent. Okay? So, especially pleasure. It's very important, you know, to remember that at some point this pleasure ends, and the happiness we experienced will be like the happiness we experienced in last night's dream. You might have had a really nice dream last night, but when you woke up, the dream was gone. So similarly, any kind of pleasure we experience in our life from another temporal point of view, it's not going to be there, it's going to be over, and the happiness is like the happiness in last night's dream. It's just not there anymore. So if you think of the happiness you experienced as a kid, or even the happiness as a teenager, the happiness you experienced last night, none of it is existent and happening right now. Like last night's dream. Okay? So if we can remember that while we're experiencing pleasure, then we won't cling on to the pleasure. We can still enjoy the pleasure, we still experience the pleasure, but we don't cling on to it. Okay. Similarly, when we're experiencing pain, if we can remember that it too has the nature of being transient, of arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing, then also our mind won't get so tight and wound up. Because very often, when we get depressed or when we go into crisis, it feels like, you know, this is lasting forever. You know, my problem is never going to change. It's never going to go away. We're stuck there right in the middle of it. But if we can remember that this too is something that comes into existence due to causes and conditions, so therefore its very nature is that it changes. It's not going to last forever. Then it helps us relax. Okay, we don't have so much aversion to it. And that's why, for example, like in the Vipassana kind of meditation as taught in the Theravada tradition, let's say when your knee is hurting or your back is hurting or whatever, you focus on that area and you watch the sensation of the pain. And you see that it changes. Yeah, it's not the same pain each moment. It changes. Okay? And that gives you some sense of space. So you begin to realize that also problems aren't so concrete. So this understanding of impermanence also helps us very much to understand emptiness. It's a preliminary for the understanding of emptiness. So the more we see that things are changeable, then it leads us very easily to understand that therefore there's no solid essence inside of it to hold on to. Okay. So really spending some time thinking about both subtle impermanence and gross impermanence is very helpful. Okay. So subtle impermanence, you can just think about, you know, the electrons moving. And the moments of mind, yeah? I mean, just think about time and how moments just are like this. They're here and they're gone. Yeah? You get some feeling for subtle impermanence. When you think about gross impermanence, you know, that's where this meditation on death comes in. Because I'm really contemplating the gross impermanence of both our body and our life. So this meditation on death is, you know, really a very big instigator that helps us gain energy to practice. Because it poses that question to us, what is the meaning of life if at the end we die? What is really valuable in our life if at the end we leave behind our body, our wealth, and our friends and relatives? If none of that comes with, then what's valuable in our life? And that helps us really put into perspective how we want to live our life, so that our life becomes very meaningful and our goals are clear and we can direct our energy very readily.